Kurt Kavarik, Vice President of Federal Affairs for the National Biodiesel Board.
Kurt, tell me about what was behind sending a letter to President Trump recently, NBB, also the American Soybean Association, reaching out to the president about biodiesel. What's the message in that letter to him?
Sure. The message in the letter to President Trump that we were joined with ASA, the American Soybean Association, on was just to reiterate the priorities of the biodiesel industry and soybean growers. For months long, we've had a negotiation led by the president and various senators looking for a win-win for both refiners and biofuels. We think through actions of the previous administrator at EPA in granting small refiner exemptions, the refiners have essentially gotten their win, and it appears as though the president is prepared to grant RVP for E15, which is a great win for corn farmers and ethanol producers. But the message is it doesn't do anything for biodiesel. And biodiesel is a critical component of the renewable fuel standard, a critical component of our nation's renewable biofuels sector. So we ask for three things: higher volumes under the renewable fuel standard for biodiesel. We ask for accounting of the small refiner exemptions that have eroded 300 million plus gallons of biodiesel over the last 2 years. And we ask for support for a long-term tax credit for biodiesel to provide some degree of certainty for our producers.
Let's talk about that on again, off again, biodiesel tax credit and some efforts that have taken place not only this year but in years prior to try to get some certainty on that. And why, I guess, Kurt, you think that we see such a almost wishy-washy mentality from Congress about that, why we cannot get certainty on the tax credit?
Sure. That the lapse in the tax credit is enormously frustrating for us as a trade association, for the industry, and for producers generally, just simply because the incentive is meant to provide the marketplace incentive to our downstream chain to make the investments in higher blends, to get the fuel to market, to create that market demand and get it out there for the consumer. And it's nearly impossible to make those investments without the certainty of the tax credit. And unfortunately, you know, this tax credit has existed since 2005. It's been off almost as much as it's been on, and it's past practice been done retroactively. But that doesn't, while that shores up folks who counted on it, it doesn't provide the necessary incentive to make those investments going forward. And this year was essentially the worst possible outcome. Granted, we got the tax credit in March of 2018 that captured all of 2017, but it was expired when it was enacted. So it was already expired. We've gone through the process with the House Ways and Means Committee to review the tax extenders. We believe there's a lot of support both in the House and Senate for long-term certainty for the biodiesel tax credit, and we're hopeful that we'll have another opportunity to achieve that in perhaps a lame duck session of Congress.
Maybe this is more so my perception than it is reality, but in following the Trump administration's comments on a win-win for oil refiners and also for the renewable fuel sector, we hear so much about the waivers and we hear about the E15, the RVP waiver, but biodiesel, at least it's been my interpretation, really has been left out of a lot of those conversations, which, as you pointed out at the beginning, a reason to send this letter to President Trump. But is that, in fact, reality that when all of these negotiations are being discussed, that biodiesel isn't really at the table as much as some of these other interests are?
We fight to be at the table because we recognize our industry is critical to the success of the renewable fuels program. Beyond the 15 billion gallons for corn ethanol, you know, biodiesel is the number one advanced biofuel. We've gone above and beyond our volume obligation each year, and we actually help fulfill some of the other categories under the RFS. So we are the biggest success story in the advanced category of the RFS. So we've done a lot of work this year in trying to raise our profile within this administration, whether it be at, you know, in the White House, USDA, or EPA. And one of the things that we've been in dealing with, and you characterize it pretty fairly, is the extent to which we would be collateral damage if there were a deal between refiners and corn ethanol. So this year, you know, we've we've demonstrated the harm due to biodiesel with a cap on RINs, or if it were RINs for export for ethanol. In all of those scenarios, biodiesel would be harmed. So, you know what? It's on us to do the education, to do the lay the groundwork, to make the inroads with the people who are in that room, to make sure that they understand what that negative impact would be on biodiesel. And we've been somewhat successful. We've had CEOs of our companies testifying before Congress, in the meetings with the White House, with ethanol stakeholders. So I think our efforts have been successful in trying to convey the biodiesel message, so we're not just lost between the ethanol and refiners.
And in looking at the letter, I see you allude to this, but to get really specific here, when you think about soybean prices this year in particular with what has happened because of trade disruptions, to get some more value to each bushel of soybeans, and you can do that with biodiesel. I mean, soybean prices have plummeted this year, and so here's an opportunity for the president. Yes, there's the market facilitation program, but with biodiesel too, when you increase production and demand for that, the value of soybeans will go up.
That's exactly right. I mean, and that was the message we're trying to convey through our soybean growers, is that with all the headwinds in their markets due to what's going on in the trade arena, this is an easy way for the administration to act positively in the area of biofuels to help shore up at least prices for soybean oil and maybe add a little bit value back to the soybean grower. It's, in our opinion, a very simple action. It doesn't require any bailouts or government funding. It's simply holding the president to his commitments that he ran on to support the renewable fuel standard. And a lot of it might also be education of the administration that, you know, a corn farmer is also a soybean farmer, and there's a lot of value to be given to a soybean farmer through the biodiesel and higher volumes.